Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? If people don't know this, I'll start the show by letting them know. We have taken some time off. We are back in the... This is our first official taping of the new year, right?
It is. It's been a minute. I haven't seen you since before Christmas.
I know. We have a lot... Like, when we tape ahead, I know we do it for a reason, to get ahead for the holidays and to get a little bit of break. But I come in really recharged after that. Not that I'm tired of it before
I'm
we
ready
leave,
to go. You got a lot to talk
ready,
about.
I got a lot to say. I got a lot to say loudly, as I usually do. But how is your new year? Tell me about your life, Jordana, because we hold off. We say save it for the pod. Let's not talk at all.
My life is good. Let's think. So I did my I finished my Christmas tree rating for the season. Thanks for all the I got a shit ton of these trees. Thank you for sending them. I feel like a gynecologist, like a male gynecologist who has to,
sure.
And like, you know, the trees are like the vaginas that I'm seeing every day, and I have to, and now I can't enjoy the magic of Christmas because I'm just looking at all the flaws, you know?
Yeah, that's every male gynecologist is just some judgmental vagina asshole. every male gynecologist is like, ugh, get that away from me. I saw 10 earlier to that day. No, but I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I imagine being like a plastic surgeon, it's probably something like that, where we're like, can you look at the person that you're with, sure, or dating, or like in the same, when you know how what it could be?
I'll say this as the board lord myself.
Right.
I look at charcuteries. It gives you just a different angle of what is out there. That's the thing. Context is everything. You didn't know that 1,000 trees would have 1,000 different essences, you know?
Yes.
Like, and they do. And I thought they were great. They were so hilarious. Over Christmas, did you have family of his, like a little embarrassed of their tree?
Yes.
Did people, yeah, this is what happened.
I had, you know, his like cousin was like, I saw that you were ready. I had to change it. I was like moving things around. I'm like, I'm not like some monster who's going to come into your home and start like spouting angry, like weird judgmental stuff. I'm like, you have to submit it.
I know. I'll be a monster at your beck and call.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Ask me. Yeah.
Well, it kind of shows you like everyone has an opinion on everything. When they're like, when people are like, oh, it's a judgment free zone. No, no such fucking thing.
Right.
Everything is a judgment full zone. Everything is judgment. Everything that you're thinking, the person across from you is thinking. Jordana, you have an opinion on trees. So does every fucking person that walked in their house. So like, it's almost like a airing of it. So now people know. It's like, yeah, I have an opinion about your charcuterie, about your tree, about your wallpaper, about your daughter, about your son, about your wife, about your cousin, about your grandma, about your home, about your car, about your everything. There is not one thing that I don't have a gut instinct opinion on. And that's where dating apps, and this is kind of like in our conversation where it's like, this is why you shouldn't concern yourself with the, you know, Jordanas of the world.
Right.
Yeah, the Jordanas coming into your house to look at your tree because it's unavoidable. You go on everyone swiped for their own fucked up reason.
Right.
And everyone's a little fucked up.
No, that's totally true. It's one of my favorite quotes. I think it's like, what you think of me is none of my business.
Like, it's true.
Which
yeah,
is true. It's like, you know, everyone has a thought, and like the goal is not to like make everyone love what you're doing, but it's to like not really care what everyone thinks of what you're doing.
Sure. I mean, I another great quote, and this podcast is just quoting memes. is another one that I love is like, you know, you don't want everyone to like you. You don't like everyone anyways.
Right.
You know, like, and that's something people have to remember for dating. Like, I think that's a big important thing. It's like, everyone on earth was not put here for you, and you were not put for everyone here on earth for everyone else. And I think that's what gets you caught in things that are just mediocre or bad or just meh, is you're like, well, whatever, you know, like it's at least it's someone looking at your tree, you know? Like,
right. Exactly. But should we get into today's
show? Let's get into it. Happy New Year. It's great to see you, Jordana. It's great to talk to you. And to the listeners out there, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep spreading the word. That's how you thank us, is by telling people about this podcast, because it gets bigger and bigger. I don't know how it keeps happening. I was just riding my bike. I have a little bicycle here.
I'm imagining you on a trike.
I'm the Wicked Witch of Del Boca Vista West. And some woman was walking and I'm talking on the phone. And listen, if people think I'm just like coming on this podcast to yell, I yell in every part of my life. So I'm on the phone with someone and I see this woman turn around and she has headphones in. And I was like, she looked like she got jostled by me. And I was like, I'll quiet down a little bit because I don't want to get my parents in trouble. And I get this message. She's like, my friends and I love the podcast. That was me. I saw you on the bike. Was that you on the bike? Are you in Boca? I was like, yes. I was like, I'm sorry for ruining your walk. She was like, she was listening to the podcast right as I came by.
Oh, wow. That must be very surreal for her.
I'm like, he's not into it. And then you hear me coming by like, he's not into it. Like, it's just...
That's amazing. We should do I think that's very funny. We should do something with that. So you're in your parents' house. Is this your room? Your special room?
My special room. I am now locking doors. This is a whole other podcast. I don't want to get into it, but this is my parents' house that I never grew up in. So if you moved home to where you grew up, I think that's good because at least you know the nooks and crannies of your home.
Right. You know where everything is.
You know where everything is. You know where
how
you can
works.
Place how it works. How where you can place yourself. I am legitimately at the Seinfeld house in when they go to Florida. Like this, it there are so many.
Well, I noticed you didn't make your bed, Jared.
I didn't make my bed. Well, Jess isn't here. That's all story. Oh my god,
that's so funny.
The bed making story. I can't even get into it.
The maid isn't here.
She's not. Listen, I should start a new podcast called Del Boca Vista Horror Stories, and I could just tell you. But listen, I'm very happy. My parents are great and fun, and we go to, you know, Brendy's, the yogurt place, every 5 minutes, and then my parents tell me that I'm eating too much. So it's just a big head fuck.
Jared, what do you got coming up?
I am doing socially distanced shows in Tampa. That's right, and Des Moines. I'm going to Des Moines. That is my go-to town to use as a nowhere town, and now I'm going. So Tampa Bay, Florida, Des Moines, Iowa, I am coming. I am coming. JaredFree.com. That's the month of February. So February, Tampa Bay, and Des Moines, Iowa. JaredFree.com to get tickets. Socially distant shows. They all have their own policies. Check in with them to see what they're all about.
But Jared, let's not forget the huge announcement we have for both you and Betches this week. I'm so excited.
Huge announcement. Ring that bell, Jordana. We got a big announcement here. Ding, ding, ding.
If you guys have ever seen any of Jared's Bachelor commentary, you know it's amazing. We at Betches have seen it. We love it. We couldn't not get involved in it. So Jared is going to be co-hosting the Betches Bachelor podcast called The Bachelor. He's co-hosting it with Kay.
Kay and I will be talking all things Bachelor. We're going to break down every episode, and I can't wait. I love Betches I love you, Jordana, and Sam and Aileen. I'm so honored to be brought into the fold on this show. I love Kay. I love the Betches brand, and I love The Bachelor. And it is my pleasure to break down the episodes with Kay, and we're going to, I'm so excited because we're already talking about new segments. We're really going to, it's going to make a show that I think people, like, to me, it's a sports show. Like, to me, it's like NFL football. It should be broken down as such. And I'm just excited to do it.
Definitely. I can't wait to hear you scream on, what is it? Tuesday mornings, Wednesday mornings. When does this come out?
Tuesday mornings or Tuesday afternoons, it'll come out, and we're already big plans in the works. We're going to make it. I mean, it's already a great podcast. Kay has already built such a great, fun show. But I think we can really amp it up. I think we can really take it to new heights, new levels, and really break down The Bachelor in a way that is funny, interesting, and different than what's going on out there.
I'm very excited. So guys, tune in, subscribe to The Bachelor, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, and feedback. We love feedback. I love thoughtful feedback, not like, not funny. Like, that's not, then what wasn't funny? Like, just fucking tell me, I'll make it funny. But I because I'm coming in here with a, you know, I love a podcast. I love doing this with you, Jordana. I love doing J-Train. I want to come in and make this fun and exciting and really, you know, tinker with the engine a little bit, because there's so much. The Bachelor, to me, is such a teachable show for relationships, for life, for social commentary. To me, and also, when I look at The Bachelor, and you know this from my live screens, and you know this from my Bachelor preview that I do for Betches every year, to me, The Bachelor is as much about the show and the contestants as it is about the audience that watches the show. The audience is also a character that is a fun thing to break down. The Bachelor is a mirror up to our souls, and I'm just so excited to talk about it. So please subscribe to The Bachelor if you're not already, because you're about to get Papa JT in there. The Wizard of Oz, the Sultan of Scream, is coming in to talk you some Chris Harrison and the gang.
Get in there.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, bowlandbranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So what are we talking about today?
Today, someone sent us this TikTok, and they wanted our thoughts on it. It's pretty popular TikTok. Should we play it?
Play it. Let's play it.
So y'all are going to look me in the eye and tell me that you can remember the name of every single person you've ever hooked up with?
When I first started online dating a couple years ago, I made a spreadsheet. I had things like how excited I was to meet them, how good the sex was, how I rated the first date, what do we do for the first date, when do we meet, what app we met on, how many dates we went on, why I stopped seeing them, their approximate height, and their occupation. And I made charts using my data as well, because data is beautiful. 37% of my dates came from Tinder, another 32% came from Hinge, and I didn't really find a lot of success on The League, Coffee Meets Bagel, or Bumble. I also made a survival curve based on how first dates convert to second dates, convert to third dates. And I found for me, if I saw someone four times, I'm likely to see them 10 plus times. I took everyone's heights from their profile and I plotted it. There's not a lot of guys who say they're 5'11 and a lot of guys lying about being 5'10. Let me know if you want to see more charts.
So do we want to give out, we want to give out her handle, right? So
people, yeah, can... and we'll share it on the Instagram too.
For sure.
Her handle is finding.jenny on TikTok.
And finding.jenny happens to be, I think she is a, she's a statistician herself. She loves charts. She loves graphs, right?
I guess I didn't know much about her. I just, someone emailed it and I watched it and I thought it was, I thought it was kind of funny. And,
what did you think? What was your takeaway?
I just think it's interesting to approach dating like it's work, which I do think takes some of the fun. It's like, this is like, I would be like very impressed if an employee came to me with like this project. But when it comes to dating, I found it to be a little less playful and fun. But I thought some of the stuff she said was like very funny and very accurate. Like when she said, If I go on four dates, I'm likely to go on 10. And I think that's a very female thing, because it's like, or maybe it's male thing too. But for me, I'm kind of like, if I like you enough for four dates, I'll definitely be in for 10.
Well, I thought from the male point of view, I was like, yeah, you're stuck. Like there is like I've had that thought where I've been on the fourth date and I'm like, and we've been physical, we've been together. And I'm like, well, you do have more skin in this game as far as, I look like the biggest piece of shit ever if I just bail after four. You look like a better person bailing after 10 than you do four. That's the sad side of it. The good side of it is, yeah, you like that person. You're enjoying their company.
Right. I think that's funny, like that's the male perspective on it, because I'm just kind of like, oh, like we've been on 10 dates. Like, you like me. Why would you not? Why would this not be a thing? Like, why would you continue to hang out with me if you weren't like fully in it?
Sure. I guess no, but that's true too. Like I'm just saying, you're never gonna know. Like the four, when I just heard four means 10, I was like, yeah, three is a big hump. I think that is for everybody.
Because of the sleeping together thing?
Well, I think it's because I think three, you're like, this is as casual as it can be. Four, it's like, oh,
we're seeing
now
each other.
Seeing each other. Like, and it's like you go from one thing to the next. Pretty, it's just a hump. And it's like a lot of this gets, like, I watch this video and I get why it gets made. Like, have you ever made a list of guys you're dating or any type of, have you ever quantified the people you're seeing?
Maybe like in college, like with my friends, it's like a fun, like gamified thing. I don't think it's funny. I remember there was a viral spreadsheet like 10 years ago. Do you remember that? I think it was like 2012
Duke,
or something.
The Duke girl.
There was that thing. She made the deck of all the guys that she had slept with in college. But then there
was
another
2010.
One. That was a while ago. And then 2012, 2013, there was a different one. I think it was on like Gawker or something. This guy wrote a spreadsheet of all his dates and he like ranked their hotness and he ranked all this other stuff about them. And he sent it to like one person. And then it got like,
sure,
spread very far, and like how much money he spent on the date, like literally sort of the same kind of thing. And I get sort of why people do that, like, or a certain kind of person that's like doing
don't
it.
Don't you think this is unfair? This is one of those male female things that we're never going to fix, but it is just socially the way the world works. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying the guy makes this list. He's American Psycho. He's an asshole. He's rating them. And a woman makes this list and everyone's like, yo, yeah, you gotta make sure. You gotta keep track of these things. And it's like, don't you think this is one of
those
things?
Well, it just kind of feels like the intention. I think I think societally, intentions to be in a relationship or get married or find something serious or intimate are societally valued higher than like, this is my like fuck list of like,
well,
people.
I guess you would assume
intention seems more pure.
Yeah, you would assume a woman's intention is to find the right one, and this is all a process to find the right one, and a guy's intention is to fuck a lot of women and brag about it, and his intention of the list is like, what's up, boys? And then to never stop high-fiving the rest of his life, right?
Right. I mean, I think the like, I think there's a double standard when it like she ranked the guys on like their, she like organized the list by height. If the guy did that by weight, you would call him a monster. But monster. I think if she was making a bar graph of guys based on like income, you might also similarly think that she's like shallow in that way. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I watched this and I wasn't like put off by her as much as I was like, I guess if a guy did this same TikTok, I would be put off by him. I'd be like, icky.
Right.
Kind of, you know, gross. And when I saw it from her, my honest initial reaction was that this is something a lot of people who have trouble dating do without writing it down. They right. just want rules. So many people that write into us, they're like, just give me the rule. Should I want him to pay? Should I not want him to pay? How many dates should I wait until I have sex? They want rules because rules make you feel at least give you something. It gives you control. Like right. And I look for rules with eating. Eating is hard for me. Eating right. and staying in shape is hard for me. So I'm like, just tell me to wake up every morning and eat oatmeal. And everything will be okay. Like, that's what I want someone to tell me. And it's just, that's not how, you know, it shows you, to me, this was like an example of like, if you have problems dating, you have problems dating. Like, this is something that's hard for you, not the person
right.
you're seeing isn't going to make it easier for you.
Right. This to me seems like almost like the calorie counting of dating, which yeah. I get makes you feel more in control. There is a certain, I mean, I think there's more of a science to losing weight than there is to like finding a match a little bit.
Well, I would disagree because I do think, what's that?
Like if I'm dating, it involves other people. Like it's very much, my success is very much tied to other people.
Well,
Whereas with dieting, the reason
I would disagree is I'm here in Florida. I'm with my parents. Last night we go to dinner. I am working with a nutritionist. I'm currently working with a nutritionist. I've mentioned it before. Alex Turoff, she's great. I send her a picture of the menu sometimes, and she'll tell me the thing to get. Afterwards, my dad is sitting there going, wow, you got a whole dollop of butter on your salmon. And I'm like, no, the nutritionist said it was okay. She said it was good. You don't know fucking shit. You have your own problems. And it's like, there are these extra external things, and it's like you have to keep your eyes on the things you like and make you feel good. Like I felt good having the salmon that she told me was going to be A-okay. This podcast, for a lot of people, we're telling them, if you don't like that the guy didn't pay for you, that's A-okay. But then everyone has a friend that'll be like, someone's a little picky. And it's like, shut the fuck up.
Right. You know? Right. But I'm just saying, like, okay, like it's harder to control the people that you're encountering, or like maybe the number of quality dates you're going on, just because those aren't just about your choices.
Totally. You're dealing with liars. You're dealing with another personality. I understand it completely. Yeah, it's different. But I felt that when she was just going through all the numbers and
yeah,
and the graphs, I was like, man, this is kind of how I am with food. Like, and it's, listen, you when you go on a date with a guy who's 5'8", but he says he's 5'10", like, yeah, that's going to happen. And you have to be A-okay with going, I'm not attracted to them because they're not the height I like. That is something that I was born with, in the same way that someone's born being attracted to anything. I am born attracted to this version of man or woman. I have to be okay with losing a good person. Do you think, I guess I would ask you, Jordana, what do you think, what level of keeping track of these things should people be doing? Because there could be someone out there that's like, listen, maybe I should start writing these things down to keep myself honest. But that's why people do calorie tracking.
Right.
Right? They go, I've had 2,000 calories today, whatever the number is for them, and now I am done. And it's like, someone could be like, I've had three dates. Is there a non-mean way Like, I understand why this woman's doing it. Yeah, like...
Well, I think some of it is really innocent. Like, oh, like, which dating apps am I finding more success on? Mm-hmm. Are there dating apps where people are more likely to, like, just want to hook up? Or where the quality of people on them doesn't really, like, match what I'm looking for, mm-hmm. let's say. Or the type of people on them doesn't match what I'm looking for. I think that is, like, it's helpful to notice, like, trends in your dating. Or sure. just, like, in the self-aware sense of, like, okay, like, if I commit to a third date, does that mean I'm, like... And I'm not sure, does that mean I'm more likely to keep going out with them even though I don't like them?
That's a good point. Yeah.
If I'm sleeping with X guys on date one and then I feel like it's not making me feel good, almost like what you said, like almost tying it more to your feelings of like, I did this, I have a sense I did this. When I was doing this, how did I feel about like when I slept with this guy after one date, did I feel better or worse than like if I slept with him after X dates or something like that?
What you're saying is very true, where these types of things, and it happened with the Duke woman, it happened with the guy that went viral in 2012, whatever, they tend to be things people laugh at the people they're rating. Like, I think if someone did this for themselves, like, that makes sense. What was it, Friends, where someone made a list of the pros and cons of their dating partner? They made like a Venn diagram and then the person found it.
It was like Along Came Polly. Have you seen that movie?
I've seen Along Came Polly. That's a funny movie.
In Along Came Polly, Sean says Ross made it about Rachel. Oh, yeah. I kind of remember that. But then also I remember in Along Came Polly, Ben Stiller's character is like he is an insurance broker. So he has to figure out the risk and everything. And he writes down the positive qualities of like Jennifer. Also, I guess people are constantly ranking Jennifer Aniston's dateability because he also makes it about her versus like Deborah Messing, who's his like ex-wife who's coming back.
Sure. Yeah. I this is like, you know, I guess, you know, I'm thinking of this as from every level of the relationship. Like, I guess when you do it when you're single, it's kind of for your own benefit. Then you do it for, it's always for your own benefit. But like, if you did it when you're single, being like, this keeps me on track for my dates, and then like the person you were dating found it, I don't think that's something to get mad about. But then if you did it like before, you know, you made a chart of times you were happy versus times you were upset to decide whether you move in with your significant other, like,
yeah,
isn't that like, I guess, is making the list the problem? Like, at the moment you want to make the list, does that mean your relationship's over? Like, I'm extending this into other like things,
the question is is dating a science? Is weight loss a science, or is it like
a journey? An emotional journey of
right.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask everyone has a different answer to this. There's no right answer, but you know, there's that whole there's always that person that looks at you and goes, "When you know, you know." And it's like, shut the fuck up, bitch. Like, that's not an answer to what I need. I need, there's a 30% chance of this working out, you know, which is no one can give you.
Right. And like, that's because there is no, it's so much easier when there is a black and white thing. Like, only eat this and you'll, you know, it's like that F Factor shit. It's like,
sure,
if you only eat fiber, then you're going to have the perfect body. It's like,
yeah,
you can give an easy answer. But usually when someone gives you a super black and white easy answer, they're trying to sell you something. So,
absolutely. Yeah. It's scary. It's all scary. Like, yeah, it's it's funny because like we're all just like afraid of our future. Like, we're all just, like, sitting here in constant fear of fucking up, of buttoning the shirt and missing a button and having to unbutton from the bottom up at some point down the road. Like, we all want it to be smooth sailing forever. And I think when you're in your 20s, when you're in your 30s, when you're dating that person, you're like, this is something I'm going out and having drinks with and having fun with, but it's also the most important decision of my life.
Right. I don't want to treat it like a job, but I also want it to be, I want it to like have an input and then get an output from it.
Sure. I mean, listen, being in Florida, you're around enough sad divorce guys to see that like this can fuck you up, you know? Like, right. So I don't know. It is interesting. This was interesting to look at. I definitely had feelings from it. You know?
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. We'll share it on the Instagram and, you know, you can hear it here and check out what is her Jenny, what did I just call it? It was
drinks.jenny. Jenny
finding drinks. finding.jenny.
I turned it into an alcohol account. Finding.jenny. Yeah.
There you go.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it. All right, you want to read it?
Yeah, send yours in, UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. J&J, love your podcast. Been listening for over 2 years now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My awkward sex is a little gross and a lot funny. Uh-oh, buckle up.
And a lot funny.
A couple we'll years ago.
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, yeah. put on your tree judging hat. So, a couple years ago, my boyfriend came up from Cincinnati to see me while we were long distance. We're still together now, both live in Cincy. I love that. Postscript. Always
Cincy.
Love the natty. But I love that she wrote, we're still together, both live in Cincy, everything's fine. You know, like this, like
but
but here we go. We're about 5 months into our relationship. So full. Finishing blowjobs were still popular.
I actually know exactly what she means.
What does she mean? I don't understand. I actually read this and I was like, I hope Jordana knows what she means. What is, because the way it's written with the commas, we started. Okay, let me read that sentence again. We were about 5 months into our relationship, comma, so full, comma, finishing blowjobs were still popular. What does that mean?
I don't really know what so full means, but I know what the finishing blowjobs was still popular thing, because I think there's a thing in, as like a woman in a relationship where it's like, that's something you're doing a lot early in the game. And then like to completion, like a blowjob to completion. Right. Okay, and then like as you continue dating, maybe it's like a little foreplay, but that's not like the main, you're not really like,
okay, you need to not tell me that this is like telling me that Santa Claus doesn't exist. I can't have this. I mean, obviously, this isn't everybody.
To the same frequency level, like, yeah, I think that's like
well,
a thing.
That's a thing. I don't know the way she
like
says
a special
it,
occasion to completion.
So this is what I thought she meant is that it was like to fruition. Like I thought she was basically saying what you're saying. We were about 5 months into a relationship, so full, finishing blowjobs were still popular. I don't like when people do stuff like this. I don't like when people. do the thing they do and then announce it as if, so we're all not finishing blowjobs, right? And it's like, no, shut the fuck up. We're finishing blowjobs.
Okay, well, then keep that in mind for, like, planning dates.
Well, okay. I'm just saying, like let's
take it. No more Netflix and chill. I think it could go the other way too.
Oh, listen, I'm going to go down with the hard hat. I'll bring my lunch and everything. I'll go downtown. I'm saying I would never go on a date or write in, be like, so I was 5 months into my relationship. That's when going down with my girlfriend was still a thing. Am I right, boys? Yeah. Like, no, if a guy ever said that, he'd be a monster. That was when pleasing your wife was a thing. And it's like, why can't you just let that be your thing? To me, when she says it this way, it's like an announcement to make sure that everyone agrees, unless someone, like, no one's going to pipe up and be like, I swallow still.
Actually.
Yeah. Well,
I thought it was a fairly accurate observation.
I would
not
say
not for all of us, but as a trend.
Well, less blowjobs, yes. I'm 2 years in it. Less blowjobs, yes. Less to fruition. Let's not make that assumption for everybody. Like, we can all have a blowjob night. We can all have a, you know, I'll go down on Unite. Like, let's all agree that this isn't crazy to be.
Hashtag not all blowjobs.
Hashtag, exactly. Thank you.
Okay. Jared's making sure the lobby, the lobbyist for.
This is what I'm going to put money into. I'm going to put it on my Instagram stories. Yeah.
Please donate.
It's less the, I know I sound like a monster because I'm talking about blowjobs, but it's like, it's just this thing of like, yeah, so we're cooking less, right, people? It's like, okay, not right. You know, like, we're not. Okay, so we're 5 months into our relationship, so full. Finishing blowjobs, we're still popular. Eye roll. We start getting hot, and I lay him down to give him a blowjob. It went great, and as he finished, I came back up, and something made me chuckle. This all happened so fast, and something white and slimy shot from my nose onto his thigh. Horrified, I at once stuck my fingers into it to feel and see if it was snot or cum. Can we just agree that both, like, what are you, what's to check both, at this point? She's got to turn into
equally unappealing bodily fluids.
Also, equally clean upable with a napkin. Yeah. So I licked it a couple times. This all happened so fast, and something white and slimy shot from my nose into his thigh. Horrified, I at once stuck my fingers into it to feel and see if it was snot or cum. Yup, it was cum. As gross as it was.
I don't even know if I'd be able to tell just by touching it.
I could tell. I right? You don't think?
I guess. It depends on like how like thick. Both can viscous. Be like a varying thickness.
Yeah, I agree. I guess snot would have more like more character to it. It could have a booger. It could have a little phlegm. Cum is just pure cum. That's the white gold.
You'd probably know more. I feel like I've done less cleanup after that than a man has. I'm not usually inspecting. I'm usually just get it out of here.
Cum is a tricky bitch. Cum, sometimes you'll whack off and like, you'll be like, where did it go? And then sometimes you'll whack off and you'll be like, man, I sprung oil. This is like never ending. And it's like, I didn't bring enough. It's my, you know, that's why you don't, you know, I don't know. We could get deep in the weeds on this.
We need more kitchen storage containers. There's just not enough room.
Well, do you ever, so I don't know what Mike uses, but some people are tissue people. Some people are towel people. That's why the sock became a thing because it envelops the whole head. So as far as cleanup is concerned, cum is like a water sprinkler. Like it just like poop, 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 poop. Like it doesn't come out in a straight form.
I'm not going to ask him. I'm just going to maintain that level of mystery in our relationship.
But this is why the sock was so important to the cum cleanup game. It's because cum doesn't just come out like, you know, when you pee.
You never know where it'll go.
You never know. You when you pee, it's a stream. When you cum, it's like a kid taking his tongue and going. Like, it just comes out willy-nilly.
Should write a romance novel.
As gross as it was that I started come out of my nose, it was also hilarious. We couldn't stop laughing. A few months later, never have I ever, my roommate threw me under the bus in front of many strangers saying, never have I ever snorted cum out of my nose. Hope you enjoyed this. Cum shot has a whole new meaning. So what do you, has this ever happened to you? Anything? Any cum out of your nose?
I mean, I've had things come out of my nose. I've never had that come out of my nose. But has this ever happened to anyone you've been dating?
No. You know, there's different methods. That, you know, and listen.
I've had water come out of my nose. Like,
I've had water come. It's a little. I guess I've had every type of blowjob, I guess. I've had the one where it's someone's a swallow person. Yeah. I've had the person who runs to the bathroom as if I just, you know, sprayed them with like, the, you know, hot sauce or some shit. I've had the person who will do the hand thing. Like, no, you know, where they put.
Like, don't.
They'll get done with it. Like,
no, they don't even want it in the mouth.
Not in the mouth at all. They'll just put their hands over it, like blocking it. Like. Like
as if it were a gun.
Yeah, like, they're like, just get it out of my face. Move it away. Yeah, as if someone's holding a BB gun to them. They're like, no, mm-hmm. get it. I've had the person who's like, who hands the baton onto you. Now you do what you do. You know, you clean it up. You take care of the ending. But I've never had in the mouth, out the nose scenario. That's got to suck because have you ever had like soda go in your nose or like a sweet drink or like a vodka soda? Or, like,
yeah,
something
like it's like painful a little bit.
Yeah, it's painful. Yeah. And like also now you have the smell of whatever it is like sticking in your nose. Now you just have like cum nose. That's fucking gross.
It's the new COVID strain. Then you lose your sense of smell and then that's all you can smell.
Only cum. I called it the snot rocket. What'd you call it?
Oh, I like that. I was thinking like a loogie at first, but then that's like more spit, right? I think yours is better.
Snot rockets, loogie, the booger sugar. I don't know. Is this a red flag or deal breaker?
The nosy hookup.
Nosy hookup. Yeah, I like that.
I don't think it's either. I think it's fine.
Listen, if you have a name for it, post it on your Instagram story for all to see, and we'll share it on the UUP account.
Well, red flag or deal breaker, this happens, and then the person does this like inspection and like it's a wine tasting or something to figure out.
They're a cum sommelier.
Yes.
Little oaky, viscous, a lot of babies in here. I wouldn't care. Like, this is, to me, I think any amount of vulnerability in the bedroom is like fun and hilarious. Like, the idea that I would go home and be like, ugh, can't see that chick again. Fucking my cum coming out of her nose. Like, who is she to laugh? You know, I would want to know what she was laughing about. That's a weird feeling, having someone come up from a blowjob and be like, oh, sorry. I was so laughing so hard. I was laughing at your penis so hard. Cum came from my nose.
I mean, if it came out of the, there's a reason why something would go into your throat and then out your nose. I feel like you almost would have to be laughing. Like, when do things come out of your nose? I feel like it's when you're like having like an internal reaction or something.
You're having a moment. There's a, that's the part of the story that she found vague or that I found vague. This all happened.
Made me chuckle.
Something made me chuckle. It's like, if I'm the boyfriend, I'm like, well, what the fuck was so funny down there?
That's fair. Yeah, I think if someone went down on me and then they were laughing hysteric so much so that my bodily fluids were coming out of their nose, I'd be like a little self-conscious. It's fair.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. You're in a gate. You tell a friend, hey, holy shit, come shot from my nose onto my boyfriend's thigh. And then they go to a game of Never Have I Ever and they use it against you. Are you mad at that friend or not? Red flag, deal breaker on the friend.
It depends like how self-conscious I was about it and how much I relayed that to her. If we thought it was funny and it was like a joke, I don't think I'd be like that offended. Would you?
I wouldn't be offended considering he was laughing with her when it happened as she tells the story. But I guess this brings on the question, like, is, again, this is we're back to the initial topic of this podcast with, like, the unfairness of male versus female. What can you tell a friend about a hookup? Like, what's fair game? Is it only fair game if it's you that is the loser on the end? Like, I'm not saying, I don't mean to make her a loser. I'm just saying she's the one that has most to be embarrassed about. Came from her nose. So,
and expect them to be discreet, you mean? I think you could tell a friend anything. It just depends, like, what you expect to be kept confidential. I would have to say, don't tell anyone.
Yeah, I
mean,
wouldn't
I'm a
be
bad
offended.
Secret keep. I'm a bad secret keeper, so I could see myself doing that.
Apparently, Mike's a great one. He's keeping this cum rag secret a real big secret.
He's very discreet. It's like a private FBI.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me, like, know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Let's do another email. You ready?
Yes. All right.
UUP@betches.com. Keep sending them in. We love these emails.
Hi, J&J. Happy holidays. Thank you for the gift of your now twice a week podcast. This is an older email, as you can tell. Here's a question I thought I'd ask you guys for any helpful words of advice. My family is a bit dysfunctional. I know many are, but in my personal case, my mom is diagnosed with borderline personality disorder and bipolar disorder, and truly is a sickness that is very overwhelming and confusing to deal with. My father passed away when I was young, my grandmother's as well, and any other family I have, my mother has managed to push away from us with her emotional outbursts and rages ever since I was little. So in a way, they always felt like strangers to me. They also live far away. I do have a sister, but she chose to no longer be a part of my family after years of dealing with these issues with my mother. I know this subject can be heavy and personal. I'm not looking for pity, as we all have cards that we're dealt with. I'm just giving you context of my family dynamic for my question coming up. When it comes to dating guys, I often notice I am ashamed of talking about my family in fear they might think I have or come with too much baggage. I always hear a ton of people say they want to date someone who comes from a big and healthy family. And when people say this, it often makes me insecure, knowing that I definitely do not. I love my mother, but she's had mental breakdowns in front of friends and even past boyfriends, and I always fear of mentioning her, let alone introducing her to any future boyfriends. I've managed to create an amazing and healthy support system of a big group of friends who have been in my life for 16 plus years. Having this has helped keep me sane through all the highs and lows of my personal home situation. But still, whenever it comes to getting close to a guy, I freeze when the conversation of family comes up because I fear that it might feel too heavy for others, or they might prematurely judge who I am as a person for it. I do feel like I'm a strong, positive person, but this insecurity is my Achilles heel. Any words of advice on how to approach the discussion of family, especially if it comes up on the first few dates when things in my mind should be kept light and breezy, or am I overthinking it? All my love, a true J&J fan.
Well, thank you for sending in this email. I think it's an important topic. I think it connects with a lot of people. And this kind of, I think it connects with people in different ways. Like when she said, like, there are people out, like the whole family dynamic and who you're dating is very difficult. And that's aside from the idea that this is like, quote unquote, baggage. And I don't mean to say, and we use that word on this podcast, not in a negative way, but everyone has their things that have to be revealed along the way. Right, Jordana?
Right. Everyone has their own things that they like feel insecure about themselves, whether it's, again, like a family, their own mental health problems, their own issues with food or friends, or, you know, we've had people write in saying, I feel like I don't have any friends. What do I tell a person I'm dating? I feel like I don't have any, you know, I'm not secure with my body. How do I bring this up to a person that I'm dating? And I think the answer is sort of similar for all of these things, in that it's much more about, I think, the way if people are going to judge you, it's going to be much more about the way that you interact with these problems and the way you present them and the way they come up, rather than like the problems themselves, because I think we all expect people that we're dating to not be perfect.
Yeah. I think you're not expecting to be with someone who's perfect. And it's also like, if I was on a date with someone, they were like, hey, my mom is on, if I was on the first date with someone, they were like, yeah, my mom has these issues and, you know, my sister is uninvolved with it. And it's kind of something that I deal with throughout my whole life. I don't know. I would be scared away. I don't even know if I would even be like thinking on that level yet. Like, I don't even know if we trust each other enough to know these things about each other. Like, to me, it's like some of these issues that everyone has, like, to me, you have to trust the person enough to tell them. Right.
Right. I think you have to trust someone enough to tell them and then know, I think, feel like you're at a point where like it's important for them to know, which I don't think is like the first date. Like,
yeah.
I have a strained relationship with my mom, let's say, and like my family has a lot of dysfunction in that too. And I mean, like anyone that you're going to date, of course, that's something that they're going to want to know and want to need to interact with. But I think like if someone asked me about like something about my mom on the first date, I would just kind of like keep it light, keep it general, not like delve into it.
So I was going to add, when I read this email, because I don't want to, your family is what some would call a modern family. Right? It's like
modern dysfunction. Yeah.
Well, in my family is definitely more of the basic variety.
Nuclear,
whatever. So for me, like, I think this is interesting because if you're on a date with Mike, when he says, so what, you know, these things come up. Like,
right.
What was your explanation in these things? Like, was there ever a time where you felt this way or like,
I definitely have felt that. And I think I definitely could relate to this email where I felt where I've heard, you know, either from guys that I was dating or from friends who are looking to date or anyone else, like people, you know, someone describes a guy, they come from a girl, they come from a good family, you know, mm-hmm. they're like, they're this, they're that. And I think that was something in the back of that, I'm not proud of my family or don't love my family. But I do think there was always a sense of like, well, I have like a lot of this like dysfunction and chaos within my family. How do I explain that to someone? Will someone be turned off from like having to deal with that? And like, I think the answer is kind of like, yeah, some people will be. They're just not going to be like the right match for me.
Yeah.
I haven't had anyone that I've told anything to about that was like, I can't deal with this, because I think that I think you have to learn how to deal with it yourself, and like figuring out the way that you think about it and the boundaries that you have with it, I think will help you when you're explaining to someone else, because I think it can only seem scary if the person is like in the chaos with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's very,
it's kind of like if let's say my father was an alcoholic, right? I'm dating someone, I don't say anything to them. I bring them home for the holidays and my dad goes on a drunken rampage. And I'm like, well, that's just dad. You know, he's like that. That to me, I think would be like the bigger red flag than someone who came to me, or if I came to someone I was dating and I was like, listen, like before you meet my parents, like you should know, like my dad has, you know, a little bit of an issue with drinking. I'm,
Yeah.
It's not something, it's something that like I wish that he would work on, and like he might say something inappropriate and I'm really sorry in advance for that. Like you have to like, it's more about like how I think you interpret the situation.
I'm more comfortable with someone being on the side of I don't know than everything's fine.
Right.
Like, you know, like if someone's like, you know, I like, cause if someone was like, yeah, you know, my dad and all this, and I just, we're working through it. I hope for the future. Right now it's good. It can be bad. I just have to let you know. Like, yeah, like right. That's a certain amount of vulnerability that you're showing. But like, you also have to be ready to show that vulnerability. Not everyone's someone that, like, this is where having your own taste comes in and you go, yeah, that person's not a person I'm going to share my whole life with. That's not a person I'm going to share these things with.
Right. And I think like that's sort of, not only like, I think I understand her being worried about people judging her for this family issue, but I think that this is a great thing to actually judge potential partners by is their reaction to how you're describing this issue. Because again, if you're being vulnerable and you're saying, you know, I have these issues with my mom and like, I want you to know that like, she's, you know, she acts this way and like, it's been a struggle for my whole life and like dealing with it. I think that like someone's reaction to that will tell you if you want to date them.
Yeah.
If they seem turned off by that, maybe that should be a turn off for you.
And I mean, it's the family entering in is very difficult because everyone, because you're bringing in a partner who now has, is like, has no skin in the game and you have tons of skin in the game. So now you're in this thing that you've already worked out. Like I notice it with my family a lot. Like I, you know, there's sometimes I don't say anything. Sometimes I'll say something and then you get away from your family and like your partner looks at you and goes, can you believe what just happened?
And right. You'll go, and you're like, and what do you mean?
What do you mean? And it's like, well, this happened, that happened. Then you start thinking on it, you're like, yeah, maybe I should have been more assertive. And this is kind of my dad used to say it growing up all the time. He was like, it's not the core. It's the people on the outside that tell you how much you're getting fucked. And because, you know, because in a relationship with anybody, family, friends, whatever, there's give and take. And when you give, your partner who cares about you the most and wants the best for you will consider most giving as you getting screwed. And so that's a difficult thing to deal with because whoever this person does come, you know, get to that point with, there is a point where you have to bring them in and kind of let like and let them kind of know that dynamic as well. Know that like when your mom explodes, this is how you have been dealing with it. It might not be the right way, but it's the way it's been working. You know, like this conversation is, I don't think it's a first date conversation. I think you could say, you know, I love, you know, I don't think if you're in this deep with someone on a first date, this isn't. This is why The Bachelor is an unrealistic show. Like they're like minute one, they're like, and everyone's dead, and you're like, okay, this is too much for the first date,
right? Thank you for opening up.
Yeah. So, but it is something that you have to trust someone enough to be able to, you know, I think talk things through with you and be, you know, understanding of the gives that you make for these types of relationships that aren't always the quote-unquote right thing. Do you know what does that make sense, or do I sound like an idiot?
So what do you mean, clarify? Like, what do you mean by the right thing? Like,
well, you might have a family member that, you know, you just know is like, everyone has that family member that's like, that's Uncle Bob. That's, right. You know, whatever. And they're saying, that's Uncle Bob, but Uncle Bob just said something horrifying. And the way that they, and then the way that they get through Uncle Bob is by going, well, that's just him. And then they laugh 10 minutes later about something different. So they deal with the bad about Uncle Bob because they love Uncle Bob. Mm-hmm. Your partner has to be ready to like, I think that you have to be able to like prep your partner for like, these are the ways we deal with it. And they have to be able to like be on board for that too.
Right. Yeah. Again, I think I would only be turned off by someone who seemed to have like a complete lack of awareness of their situation and like didn't and thought it was completely normal if it wasn't. I think that would be a little more worrisome for me than someone having family issues, which I mean, I can relate to, or any other insecurity. Like it's about how it displays itself
sure.
to them and how you are managing it.
Yeah, I guess the point is that, like, I think the point also is just that this whole dynamic is hard no matter what's going on in your life. Like, no matter how serious, like, your mom's issues are, sound pretty serious and sound like they're hard to deal with. But it's not easy for anyone else. When someone's like, I want a big, happy family. No one's just, you know, moving in with the Brady Bunch and everyone hugging. That's just not how it works.
Right. And I mean, some people are luckier than others. They have, some people have like more, you know, of a more cohesive, functional family dynamic. Most people are usually pretty boring.
Yeah. Let's do some red flag deal breaker. You ready?
I'm ready.
Send them in. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Hit it.
Red flag or deal breaker. The person sleeps with an airplane neck pillow on a regular basis while in bed.
I guess I'm more and more getting into this because now, like, since Jess and I moved in, it's not like cuddle hour. Like I make fun of Jess because, like when she goes to bed, she'll, like, start inching towards the front of the bed like a dog. And it's like, and sometimes I'll be like, goodbye, see you tomorrow. Like, and she has her way of sleeping. I have my way of sleeping. And so if someone had an airplane neck pillow, I would be more like freed up. I'd be like, wow, I can
more
like do my own thing.
More space on the bed for my pillows.
What's that?
More real estate on the bed for your pillows.
Absolutely. More real estate. Also, like, there's no like, should I be cuddling now? Should I be, you know, they're doing, there's no, you know, confusion of emotions.
Right. Their neck is already surrounded by something soft. You can feel free to do your own thing.
I can do my pillow V formation that I'm into.
Pillow V formation. It's like a cheerleading move.
That's right. I take them right in a V and I put my head right in the middle. What do you think, Jordana?
I think it's fine. As bad habits go, I think that's fine. As long as they didn't insist on leaving it out. You know, if we were showing anyone the home, I'd want it to be hidden.
What if you're on a first date? And you're like, come home with me. This has been the best time. And you bring the person home. And then all of a sudden, you're like, you have sex. And then you get done. You hear in the darkness, you hear.
They're blowing up the neck pillow.
They're blowing up. And you're like, what is that? And they pull out of their, they had pulled out of their pocket like a, you know, a Delta blow up pillow. What do you think?
It's Delta. It's not even like a premium, you know.
Well, it's like that felt material. They don't give them out on Delta flights. But like, you know, that felt material that's like kind of not felt.
Yeah. Okay. It's one of those.
It's like one of those. Yeah.
I think I'd have to like make fun of them and see how they reacted, but sure. I think I'd be okay with it.
I'd be cool with it too. I'd be like, I look at that confidence. Like the fact that you walk around everywhere just in case you sleep out with a neck pillow is fucking great.
How many other girls have you shown this neck pillow to?
They show up to the second date drunk.
I think I'd be out. I'd be like very turned off by that if they were like visibly drunk and I wasn't.
That's the thing. How drunk were you? You know, that's where the like, are they sleeping at the table? I'm out. Are they not sociable? Like, are you beyond being sociable? I'm out, because that means you didn't even care about talking. I've done this, I think. I've gotten drunk and shown up to a date.
Why?
And
by accident?
I think I just got ahead of myself. I got by accident, like, showing up from like drinking during the day and like,
okay,
you know, if you're not on the same level as the person drinks wise, it's not fun.
It's definitely not fun to be like the sober person who's like there, and then you're with someone who's, people who are drunk when you're extremely sober. I mean, some people can handle it. I find it very annoying. You want to be like on the same level, like you could get there together, but.
And I know a lot of people before a date will take a shot, will have a glass of wine, whatever they do. And that's when it can get away from you.
Right.
Because then it's, that's when you get to like drink three and you're like, how to, but showing up to the date drunk, like that's how people get to like drink three and then get too drunk.
Yeah. It's like the point of the date is to get to know you. So like, is that who you want me to get to know?
Yeah. And also if you're showing up drunk, then like, what's going on?
Where do you go from here?
Here's where either it's a problem and they have a drinking problem, or they went out during the day with friends. Like this happens.
Yeah.
This happens on like Sunday, Saturday dates when it's like, I went and watched football. This happens to guys a lot where it's like they went and watched football and the woman's like, okay, we're going to do Sunday dinner because, or drinks. And then they show up and they're like, oh, the Patriots won. And like, they're all fucked up. And that's where I kind of look at it and I go, hey, if a woman was like, I have like texted me and was like, hey, I would come with you. Like, I would hope that they would get ahead of it and be like, I was day drinking. I didn't see today going where it went. I'm drunk right now. I don't want to do a second date like this. Can we reschedule? I would be okay with that. If they just showed, now you're their babysitter, I'd be like, I'm not going to really sign up for this if they didn't even think to like at least cancel on me. Get me out of it.
Right. I agree. I think it would be like a very large turnoff, especially like if you had a good first date, it'd be like very disappointing.
Totally.
All right. Red flag or deal breaker. They end every sentence with an exclamation point. Seriously, see attached. I called him out twice. It already irks me that my boss does this. I don't need it from the person I might be dating. Also, to turn this into a lifestyle question, please help in addressing this pet peeve / blatant disregard for public for proper punctuation. So,
okay, let me start by saying the tone of that email to us makes me think I'm gonna disagree with them.
Right.
I mean, read that email again, please, for the people at home. That was like, this person's mad because they sent actual screenshots.
Yeah. This blatant disregard for proper punctuation is like a little bit aggressive, I have to say.
So let's read the text.
So you're the guy.
I'm the guy. And is this both him or are they?
I don't know if it's two separate people because it's like one looks like a dating app conversation and the other one looks like. Yeah, let's start with the dating app conversation.
Okay, so I'll be him.
Okay.
Cool. I live in Astoria, Queens. I'm talking like this because they all have exclamation points. I love Manhattan, but not for living. Will you stay in city for Thanksgiving? Oh, no, hold on. That one had just a question mark. So will you stay in city for Thanksgiving?
The rents are amazing. Yes, dinner with friends, you?
Well, we rented a cabin in PA for 4 days, and we're going to have a short trip.
Do you always use this many exclamation points?
Ha ha, I don't know why I use it. I don't know why I use it much. LOL.
Okay.
He did even. I like him because he pushed through. She was like, do you use this many exclamation points? And he didn't really use a lot. They may have been misplaced. But it wasn't like there were like seven at the end of the sentence. It was one exclamation
one
point.
One per thing.
One per thing. We'll post it on the U up. We can put it on the Instagram
account.
Yeah,
we'll put it on the story. Yeah.
So let's go to the text.
All right.
Ah, it's cold outside. I just took my COVID test and got home. Yeah, it's travel advisory for PA, as we're going to have a short trip there for holiday.
Oh, I didn't know that. When do you get results?
Because of the holiday, it was too crowded, and I was on the line for 2 hours. It takes 5 days, but they gave me a letter that I could have a proof in hand that I took the test.
You're really into exclamation points, aren't you?
Well, it was just for having a safe... Well, it was just for having a safe trip. I don't have any symptoms. It looks like he just ignored it. It is funny to put exclamation points after all
when
your
you read
COVID
like
texts. Well, I have to assume she's reading it like that because she's so... she's so like taken aback by it. But like... like
these do seem like excessive, but like... I don't know.
He's
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
He seems excited. I mean, excited. I'm a big exclamation point guy just to show that like I'm here for the conversation.
Yeah, me too. I actually do more exclamation points like in an email than I would ever actually emote out loud, almost to make up for it, because I know that I'm not like that peppy.
Sure.
So my texts and my exclamations have like way more excitement when you read them than I... It's like the op... It's like you would probably think I'd be like more uppity than I am, but I'm actually the opposite.
Well, I would also say that most of the exclamation points are just to let people know I'm not mad, or let the people know that I'm like on board with them. Like, I know there's no reason for her to think that he's mad in these conversations. Like, ah, it's cold outside. Like, ah, it's cold outside. Okay, I'm cool with the exclamation point there. I just took my COVID test and got home. Didn't need one there. yeah, it's travel advisory for PA as we're going to have a short trip for there for the holiday. I guess that could be that could go either way. Because the holiday was too crowded and I was online for 2 hours. Yeah, that's pretty...
You can use one.
That'll allow it. Yeah, that's cool. It takes 5 days, but they gave me a letter that it could have proof in hand that I took the test. That's one that's more informational. Like, hey, I don't have the pandemic virus. Like, it's kind of a...
I think I'd rather this than, like, no emotion in the text. Like, I find that's going to be, like, because you're kind of like, oh, like, are you mad at me? Are you, like, just answering to answer?
Like, give me something.
This does seem like more effort, and even though it's clearly not, like, real effort, but it does give me that vibe, so I'm kind of into it.
Also, I mean, she sent us two conversations. The first one from the app, she's talking, like, this guy's making an effort, and you're worried about his exclamation points. Like, yeah. To me, you're being a little bit miserable, and he's being excitable and fun and first date Johnny.
Could I possibly date someone with poor punctuation? Like, this isn't about punctuation. It's not like he's doing question marks when there shouldn't be a question mark. Like,
exactly.
It's just an excitement level. You're being a little judgmental.
It's him trying to show that he's excited to be talking to you. And every chance that he's being... Like, if I was him, I'd be like, you're really into exclamation points, are you? And it's like, yeah, I just, you know, wanted to show you I'm excited to talk to you. Like, I don't know how he answers that without, like, I guess there could be a joke there where it's like, it's not like he used 8 of them. That's like in a row. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is just him trying to show he's happy to talk to her. But I don't know. I think if you've, like, to me, I'm turned off by the questioner and less the guy.
Right.
So deal breaker on sending the email in the first place.
Yes. Red flag on the exclamation points.
Exactly. Well, we solved dating again, Jordana. We did it.
Once again. There we go.
We're here for you, baby. And this is the time of year you need a podcast most. Other podcasts take a week off. Not us.
Let me tell you, 3 years, never taken 1 week off. You're welcome.
That's right. 52 weeks a year. We're 7-Eleven of podcasts or whatever.
Exactly.
We never close.
Higher quality. Anyway.
So share it. But we'll be back next episode.
Bye.
Betches.